Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 181 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of December 22nd, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is Tier of Opa Opa, Dan Ryan.
That one's good. I like that one.
Thank you. It's time once again, well not once again, for the December 10, 2030. It's just time for the
December. No, we've only done this one once. And in the right month.
Indeed. Where we talk about games that came out this month, 10, 20, and 30 years ago. But before we go any further, we want you to know how hilarious it is that Evan can't hear us right now. just hysterical on every level. We love you, Evan. Also,
love. Yeah. It's a bit strong.
Oh no, I love him.
Like,
also, here is
maybe even like.
Oh,
love?
No,
there yet.
Oh, come now. He is so lovable. He's a delight, a constant
delight.
His mother
was right.
She sure was. Anyway, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Now, Dan, I actually have a bunch of stuff going on that I want to talk about. What do you got cooking? What's up with you? What's new in the world of Dr. Dan Ryan?
Well, see, last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't think I mentioned this on the show, a deer tried to murder me, so that was cool.
it's one definition for it.
Yeah, like, I was driving to work in the morning, it was like 6:45 in the morning, and, like, he jumped out and threw his whole fucking ass at my windshield. And, like, he was just such a dick about it, you know? Because, like, he busted my windshield all up. And he didn't stop to see if I was okay.
What a dick.
He didn't leave me his insurance information. Like, he just ran off, Chris. And I felt a lot of feelings about it. I was so hurt that I couldn't even mention it on the show last week. And also because I forgot. So that was expensive. And then I went Christmas shopping, for Santa, right kids? Earlier this week. And, you know, for the amount of money that was spent, I feel like there should be more stuff. Have you done your shopping yet?
Oh yeah. We're good. I really don't know how much it cost. I did. I bought Karen's present earlier and gave it to her before Thanksgiving. It was a giant table thing from IKEA for the kitchen that she was drooling over.
Jesus, it's Christmas is in December, Chris.
So, well, it was a cross between her because it was expensive, like really expensive. Uh-huh. So it was combined her birthday and Christmas together. And I knew she would want it before doing Thanksgiving. Because we were hosting at our house, so I got that for her early. And I also got her, because I know she doesn't listen to this show, just because I needed to get her something to open on Christmas.
Oh, sure.
I got her a Pittsburgh Steelers lanyard.
Aw, that's nice.
Because we work at the FAA, and we have to wear, you know, badges. And you know, both just have, like, boring FAA badges. And I thought that she could use the Steelers one to make her happy. And then we got John.
Misfits one. That was pretty dope.
But I have a Nintendo Switch one I just keep my keys on. It's lovely.
That doesn't surprise you. You still keep your keys on a lanyard?
I do.
God, Chris, what did we talk about earlier with the one pant leg up and the bandana?
I have no...
The lanyard is right there, Chris.
It has got absolutely nothing to do with being cool and everything to do with I never want to reach in my pocket for my keys. I don't want to fish around in there. I just like pulling the lanyard. They're the keys. Hooray!
How big are your pockets? Do you shop at a different store than the rest of us?
No, normal size pockets. I just got so used to it and... never wanted to stop.
Do you keep your wallet on a chain still?
Oh, God. I know. I never did that.
Oh, no?
No, that never made sense to me.
You didn't have, like, the super long chain that, like, you tripped over and shit with your bondage pants?
I also never had, like, the belt that hung down. Like, it was, like, super long belt. They had, like, this extra belt hanging down. Never got that.
Oh, the look at my dick belt.
Yeah, no.
Look at my braided dick. It was very weird. It was very, like, the 90s were awesome, but there was a couple really strange fashion choices that, like, that one just never made any sense.
Nah.
Like, I bought this belt at the Fat Dude store.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, I never like, really got up and close and personal to, like, look at how exactly it worked. Because, like, one time I was at home and I was like, I don't understand how this is working. Like, let me try this. And it didn't look like anybody who was doing it on purpose looked, you know, it just looked like, right. Well, here's this big, like, cause it didn't just fold and hang straight down. It like stuck out a little bit. So I wonder if they were buying belts that were like specifically made to do that.
Or no, you had to buy them really big.
And they had like wrap them around or something to make it not like bulge. And I don't know. It's fucking weird.
It is fucking
fashion's
weird.
Strange.
So
how did,
we
get here?
Did you get him a giant belt?
No.
A giant belt so he could be cool like all the other hippity hoppers?
How he got him a bunch of trucks. Just truck-related things. He loves trucks. I got my niece a copy of Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. She's going to love that. And
We did get the Switch and Splatoon 2 and Super Mario Odyssey for a penny. So
Super Mario Odyssey's great.
Yeah, well... going to be playing it. I don't ever want to see another Mario anything for like the next 50 years at least. But
good luck with that.
Yeah, that's going to be happening in my house on for the rest of my life for the foreseeable future.
You should really get around to playing Zelda at some point.
Right.
Or just mail that one back to me, whatever.
That's I need you to mail me the other, the Switch version, then I'll send the other one back to you.
Hell no. I still have to play the damn DLC. Some footage of the motorcycle. I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I am really excited to have one in the house. Like, I am actually legitimately pretty excited. So.
Well, that's good. You should be.
We can talk about the same games, because somebody's not going to buy a fucking PS4. So I gotta do the heavy lifting on the show, Chris.
Yes, you do.
Mm. Mm.
So let's see. What have I got cooking here? Well, first off, I want to do this live on the show because this makes me happy.
You're gonna do it live?
Gaming Junkie on Twitter at ClickChris78 messaged me, did you check out the Pick-A-Picks demo? And this was 13 hours ago, and I responded, I don't know what that is. And he sent me a picture. He or she, I don't know. This could be a she. I don't know who this is. I mean, I'm sorry if this is somebody that I actually do know. I'm bad with connecting Twitter names to people. I have like 6 friends on my Switch that I have no clue who they actually are. It's wonderful.
Karen's going to be so upset when she hears this. I sent you the thing, and you didn't say anything.
It's a Picross clone. With colors, so I was like, all right, well, I'm super stoked about that. And then somebody named Catherine at Lightwood Games said to not miss out on the Christmas demo because it probably won't be around long, and these puzzles aren't available in the main game. So I am going to download this demo right now. I'm on the shop right now. Who makes this game?
This is riveting radio.
It really is. Oh, wow. Hey, this Catherine from Lightwood Games. Lightwood Games makes Pick-A-Picks Deluxe. Well, look at that.
Well, hey.
Thank you for talking to me, developer of this game. I am downloading the demo right now. Demo is now downloading. Hooray! So I'll fire that up as soon as I finish Picross S, because I'm more than halfway done with that one. Now that I know I won't run out of Picrosses on my Switch after I finish it, I'm just going to blast through it. So that was fun. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you to all people involved. Now we also got some listener mail. Let me find that email. Here we go. From Jamie Hill, who's written to us before. Mm-hmm. And Jamie Hill says, some weeks ago, Dan and Chris spoke about the glory that was a shower beer.
Yes.
Chris said he did not partake as he showered early in the morning, and Dan told him he was missing out. I don't drink alcohol, neither do I, Jamie. One of the reasons I don't partake, but I do still appreciate a finely brewed beverage. And if I may say, the enjoyment was enhanced sevenfold by having my cold beverage in a hot shower. Thanks for the insight, Dan. And he included a picture of specially selected Irish cream soda, naturally flavored, made with real cane sugar. And that looks exquisite.
Dude, I'm telling you, the shower beer thing, it's not a joke. It is a fantastic way to enjoy a cold beverage.
I am going to have to get myself
a juicy juice in the shower.
Well, no, that would actually be nice, but I feel like it's got to be in a bottle, right? Like, doesn't that kind of feel right?
See, I usually go with cans in the shower because if I drop it, you know, because soap.
True.
It's not going to shatter and cut my feces to pieces. So, there you go. There's your show title.
Already typing it.
Already typing? Good. Yeah, you know what I mean? I usually go with the can in case I drop it. But I mean, I've done bottles in the shower before, but you know.
Well, I'm trying to think of a special beverage that comes in a can that I would enjoy, but I think if I got like a nice Stewart's orange cream.
There you go.
Maybe I'll try that in the shower sometime.
I really do find things that are brighter, you know, citrusy type things and that sort of stuff, like in the shower, it really does enhance it. It's a good time.
And it should be cold, right? Nice, nice.
Absolutely, yes. Hmm. Absolutely. Nice and frosty. Nice frosty beverage.
Hmm.
Frosty I know, it sounds beverage. So ridiculous, but Jamie, I'm happy that you enjoyed your shower beverage. A good time. Spread the word.
All right, so I have a couple of quick stories.
Okay.
First, Super Mario Odyssey. I'm chilling around in the post-game content, and I'm running around the Mushroom Kingdom, and I find a painting, and I jump in the painting, and then all of a sudden, I'm in the Shivaria Kingdom again. It's all the snowy place, and I see a bunch of, like, a moon, like, out in the distance. I bet I can get that. So I jumped out and got it, and then I realized, oh, crap, I can't get back to the Mushroom Kingdom. Like, I'm stuck here. That ledge is way far up, and I made a suicide jump to get this moon. And the Odyssey needs like 20-some-odd more moons, and I'm learning around, and I can't find 20-some-odd moons in Shivaria. I know they must be there, but I'm just not finding the easy ones, and John's next to me. Then I find another painting, and I go back all the way back to the Cascade Kingdom with the friggin' T-Rex. It's like, all right, this is super cool. And so I found a bunch more moons, and I got the Odyssey up and running, and now I'm on something called the Dark Side, which is the dark side of the moon.
Isn't that where Megatron lives?
I believe so.
The last Transformers documentary, I believe.
So I'm about to start up the Dark Side of the Moon, which I've heard is pretty tough. So I'm looking forward to that. So Super Mario Odyssey is still the gift that keeps on giving. It's a darn good game.
Well, all right.
But that's really awesome. The most fun I've been having is in Doom. I have been playing the crap out of Doom with every possible moment that I can get because that game has just, it keeps getting so much more fun. So first, I had about a 10-minute stretch to play Doom a bunch of days ago. Sometime next week, I had about 10 minutes to play.
Sometime next week?
Okay. Sometimes last week, sorry. 5 minutes into that 10-minute playtime, I got the rocket launcher.
Nice.
Within those remaining 5 minutes that I had the rocket launcher, I blew myself up 3 times.
I don't think that's how you're supposed to play it. I could be wrong. I don't have the game, Chris. But I'm pretty sure that that is not what it is designed for. Maybe.
All 3 of those times were absolutely hysterical. Totally I was cracking up. I was like out loud cracking up on my couch every time because I was in this room and there'd be all these guys and I'd be like, oh, one of these big motherfuckers. So I shoot them a couple of times. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're getting a rocket launcher. Not taking into account that he was still running toward me super fast. So by the time I pulled out the rocket launcher and shot it at him, he was about 3 feet in front of my face and we both blew up and it was wonderfully hilarious.
That is fantastic.
So I got good at the rocket launcher, and I'm playing again the other day, and I had like an hour to play because I had to take the day off on Monday. And so Ellie's taking a nap. I'm at home. My daughter's asleep. Son's at school. Wife's at work. I'm just sitting here playing Doom in the basement for like a solid hour, and I came across the super shotgun, which is basically the double-barreled shotgun from Doom 2. Like it reloads the same way. It is obscenely powerful and so very satisfying. And I got to these like crazy teleporting fire demon guys that were just like shooting all these fireballs. They're super cool looking. And I got to the skeleton guys with the rocket launchers on their shoulders from Doom, also from I think Doom 2. Those guys were real cool. And then I got to this crazy room where I had these like super fat guys, like just big fat guys. I I'm fairly certain I remember them from Doom 2 too, because they had these flamethrowers and they looked great. And there's a room like four of them in there and just a shit ton of other demons running around. And I'm just, I died like twice and I didn't even care. I was using my chainsaw and the rocket launcher and the super shotgun. And I just kept getting angrier and angrier, but then like the fun way, game was so goddamn good. And then probably the last fun story of me playing Doom was I was playing in bed and I had the volume on. I had my headphones in and Karen's laying next to me and she's like reading a book. And I don't know what it is about this game that makes me talk to it, but every time I die in this game, I'm like, okay, motherfucker, I'm on to you. I'm going to fucking find you. And I got to this part where these imps on this like platform way on the other side, and they're just hurling fireballs at me while I'm trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. And they killed me twice. And I was like, you know what? I'm pulling out the fucking rocket launcher. And Karen's just sitting there laughing at me as I'm talking to the game. And I did. I pulled out the rocket launcher and I blew them the fuck up. And it felt fantastic. Because they're just over there hurling fireballs. I'm like, yeah. Dead, dead, dead. And like 30 other imps showed up and
dead.
Killed the shit out of them too. God, this game is so satisfying. I love Doom. It's so goddamn good. Play it on whatever platform you can. It is a fantastic game.
I can't remember the last game that I really talked to like that. You know, like, because
I think the last one for me was Uncharted 2.
Maybe. It might have been one of the Uncharted. Because there's plenty of times where, you know, I was doing Puzzle and Dragons has the challenge dungeon going on with the radar dragons are in there, and it's, you know, got up to this one part in the dungeon and like cruising through, got a couple of like lucky skyfalls or whatever, and like got up and dropped one combo and fucked up like the whole run on like floor 19 to 20. So like, you know, out loud is fuck. God, all right. That's not really talking to the game. That's more talking, you know, like.
Yeah, it's more like audibly reacting to it.
Yeah.
Now I get into the room and like one of those big guys that runs at me shows up, and I was the time when I was playing in bed. I'm in that room. I get to a room and one of those big guys shows up and I'm low on ammo and everything. And I'm like, oh, good. You're here. You're exactly who I wanted to be here. Because when you kill one of those guys with a chainsaw, you get a shitload of ammo for everything. So just like rip out the chainsaws and all the ammo goes shooting out everywhere and blood and guts and. I love this game.
That game is currently on sale in the PlayStation store with the holiday sale for $20.09.
Buy it.
Thinking about it.
You really should. It's so good. And I'm sure it looks way better on, not way better, but I'm sure it looks better on PS4. I love the portability of this thing is just so wonderful. Cause I started running because I hate myself and,
Yeah, you mentioned that last week, the running.
And my reward was, I did it again this week. I ran on Tuesday, and when I got back from my run, I just whipped out the Switch and played Doom in my car for 15 minutes, because I can do that, and it's wonderful. I love the Switch.
I don't know. I'm still nowhere closer to finishing Horizon, like, at all. And there's DLC coming out for that I really want to play, because I'm just still doing side missions. I did have, like, it was a really awesome moment of, like, I was playing through the game and Penny came down and she, what the fuck is that? I mean, she didn't say fuck, but she did get in trouble in school. It's not great, but they spell out letters in their class with magnetic tiles, and she was stopped after she put F and U. Like, kid, what are you doing? You can't, that's not okay. It's just, anyway, so like she came down and I was playing it, and I think one of the robots, animals, whatever, is walking around. It's called a tall neck, and it's basically like this gigantic giraffe looking thing, big old long neck, and it's got a big saucer for a head that you can like stand up on. And it's this really cool looking creature in the game. She came down and she was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I want to draw that. Can you just like stand here for a minute so I can draw it? And I was like, yeah, totally. So like she ran upstairs and got some paper and came down and started drawing it. And she, what other what other creatures are in this game? Is there anything else cool? I was like, oh yeah, there's all this awesome stuff in here. And I started like running around and showing her, because like as you go throughout the game world, there's different like pods of the creatures all together. You know, so like you'll get up and there's like a bunch of sawtooths like all next to each other or whatever. And, you know, some of them have like little missions associated with it. If all the robots are corrupted, you have to like clear all the corrupted robots out. Anyway, you know, so I'm going around and I'm showing her like all the different pods and she's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, we have to play this game so I can draw all of these creatures. So like I'll run around and like zoom in, like, you know, with the bow and arrow so that she can see them better and draw them. And like, it's just a really interesting way to play through this game. But it has also slowed my progress to an absolute crawl. Like, not actually doing anything in the game. I'm just going from place to place and, like, basically taking pictures.
So here's the thing. Everything you said there makes me even more excited to play that game.
Oh, it's so good.
I really, really want
it's
to play
so
that game.
Good.
But here's the situation I'm in. I was writing an article today for the Stone Age Gamer blog, which I'm going to post tomorrow, and it's comparing 2016 to 2017. And one of the things that I kind of wrote down was a list of the things that I'm excited to play next year and games that I missed this year. And just on Switch, like, this just games that are available on Switch or will be coming on Switch next year. So right now, I still haven't touched Rocket League, Yooka-Laylee, The Mummy Demastered, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and Mario Plus Rabbids. Every one of those games I want to play. And then next year, Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove, Runner 3, Bloodstained, Kirby Star Allies, the new Yoshi game, Mega Man Legacy Collections 1 and 2, Mega Man 11, Bayonetta 1 and 2, Street Fighter Anniversary Collection, Super Meat Boy Forever, and Wolfenstein are all games coming out next year that are, even though those are the ones that are announced. I'm sure there's other games I don't know about.
And that's just for the Switch.
That's just for the Switch. So if I add a PS4 in there, that means that I can, catch up on Horizon. I can play Dragon Ball FighterZ. I want to play that game. Soul Calibur 6, which I am excited for. And then the other games I missed last year, Uncharted 4.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider. Not as high on my list as some of the other ones. I know it should be, but it's not.
Be higher than Xenoblade, because you're never going to play that.
Yeah, I'm never going to play
that. Or you're never going to finish it.
Yeah,
anyway.
Definitely not. Last Guardian. Definitely want to try Last Guardian.
I still want to fucking play Last Guardian. I still haven't played it.
What's the other one I'm forgetting about? Oh, and Horizon, obviously.
Yeah.
So if I, without a PS4, there's no way I'm getting to all the games I want to play next year.
I know. It's crazy. Plus, I know you're not super hyped about the new Spider-Man game, but I am very, very excited about that new Spider-Man game. The new God of War.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot about that.
I think that, can we spoil next week? That's my game of the year. Next year's God of War. It's my game of this year.
That game that hasn't come out yet? That gets your Portal 2 award?
It's my Portal 2 award. Oh, don't you even worry about it. There will be a Tiffany Ryan Memorial Portal 2 award.
Oh, and that freaking Portal bridge building game.
The Portal bridge building game.
I gotta play that.
Psychonauts 2 is coming out.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, oh my God. Well, we'll save that for, last show of the year. We'll do like a preview.
Seriously.
Thing. Unless you already had something planned out that I forgot about, which is...
No, next week is the...
Entirely likely.
Yeah, no, next week is the SAGJGLDs, the fourth annual. Stone Age Gamer Joseph Gordon-Levitt D Awards. Thank you, Tiff.
That joke was so much funnier 4 years ago when he was like a big deal. And now it's like, who?
Now it's the SAGJGLDs, and it will be that forever as long as I'm hosting this show.
So funny. Speaking of, we meant to talk to you about your hosting gig. Do that off the air.
We'll do that later. We'll burn that bridge when we get there. So I guess we should start doing what we actually came here for, which is the 10/20/30 for December 2017. So let's go ahead and flash back 10 years to December 2007, where
just real quick.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have a Wayne's World-esque doodly-doo thing that happens. Yeah. when we flash back.
Yeah, we should put the Zelda Link to the Past Switching Worlds sound.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe intrepid editor Evan will do his job and get his computer to work.
We wouldn't want him to do his job. You're pissing the customer off.
When he asked for a chicken sandwich, Carl.
If the man wanted a small soda, he would have asked for a small soda. And where the hell is his chicken sandwich? If any of our listeners get that, we love you.
Love you. Yes, I'd like a 3-color copy.
I don't want to sound like an idiot, but duh.
God. Office State really was the greatest show of all time.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so
December 2007. I feel like I must be wrong, but I could find very few releases in December from 10, 20, and 30 years ago. I mean,
I don't think that you're wrong, though. Like, the big games come out in, like...
In November.
November.
Yeah.
And then, like, system purchases are traditionally, like, holiday things, but you already had to have the games out, you know.
It just seems so weird, but, I
mean... It does.
Here we are, December 2007. The only two games of note that I could find here was, one, the original Psychonauts was released on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, it sounded like you were going to say the other one.
Oh, no, I wanted to get your reactions on that.
Okay, we have gushed about Psychonauts quite a bit on this show, but it really is just this incredibly fantastic and creative and just unbelievably charming game that Double Fine put out, where you are a psychonaut, where you go into people's heads and deal with their imaginations and their psyche, and there's every level is wildly different than the one that came before it. There's tons of secrets to find. There's tons of little cool things to collect, because there is an element of, like, 3D platformers at the time being collectathons to a certain degree. You know, so that there are pieces of luggage as you roam around these different worlds that are people's emotional baggage, which is just really cute and really funny. And you pick those up, and there's just, it's a hard game to describe because it is so weird. You know, like the different, a journey through different people's minds doesn't really sound like it would have a coherent through line to all the different stages, but it does. I mean, it's basically just different hub world, you know?
Yeah.
But God, it's just brilliant. It looks gorgeous. For the time. It played incredibly well. Like, that's always been a complaint that I've had about Double Fine games, is that they have really cool stories and really cool ideas. Sometimes they don't make a great game that goes behind it. You know, like, what was the Jack Black one? Brutal Legend. Great idea. Sort of a broken concept, though. Like, the actual gameplay mechanics of it weren't that great. But Psychonauts controls really well.
Mm-hmm.
The voice acting is spectacular in it. All the characters look really cool. Like, the art design in the game is incredibly interesting in how varied it is. Like, I think my favorite and most frustrating stage of the entire game is when you are the running of the bulls is happening. Like, it's not actually just like the running. There is just a bull that is just running around this kind of circular area that you're exploring, and it's just fucking cool. Just a very, very cool game, and the fact that we are getting a sequel to it was such an unexpected little bit of awesome. You know, like, it's one of the few games that I've purchased multiple times on multiple systems.
I have not. I've never actually finished this one. I'm hopeful to do that one day.
Because you're a terrible person, Chris.
I am. That's been proven time and again. This is not news to anyone.
Disagree with anything that I've said, though.
No, absolutely not. The little that I've played of it is delightful. It's a wonderful game. It was... really, I had it on original Xbox, and I wasn't doing a lot with my original Xbox, I guess, at the time. And
because that is also a terrible system.
Oh, God, you know what I was probably doing at the time? I don't know if this actually lines up with when it came out, but I remember some of the most fun I had with my original Xbox is I bought the collector's edition of Doom 3, and I'd never played Doom 3. I just played the Doom 1 and 2 that came with it. God, I played those games so many times.
Everything comes back to Doom.
It does.
You're like a broken record.
I am. A broken Doom record. Speaking of broken, the other major release that came out in December 2007 was the ultimately disappointing, but still showed vague signs of goodness, Knight's Journey of Dreams for the Wii. Mm.
This should have been great.
This should have been outstanding, but this was very clearly handled by people that needed direction. Because there's a lot. This is a game that is full of good ideas. A sequel to Knights is a great idea, and unfortunately, this was not. There's a lot of ugly in this game, and I don't mean like the stages themselves are stunning. Like when you're actually playing the game as Knights flying around, it's like the original Saturn game, and it's wonderful. It feels very good to play. It looks gorgeous, but then. Take a look at the character Riala from this game, and it's like giant black lips. It's just really creepy looking, and not in like a cool creepy. Like, it's just like this is a demented child's drawing kind of creepy. There's this like owl in a vest who flaps his wings horizontally, so there's no way that would work. And he talks to you a lot. This game's very talky. And the character design on the kids is really kind of creepy. And any of the stages where you have to play as the kids are awful. Just this game was unfortunately not made by people who know how to make good games. And it only really worked because it was running off the framework of the original Knights, which in itself was not an, oh my God, amazing game. It was just a really fun, relatively simple but deep if you wanted to get into it kind of a game. Like, it was very right. Arcadey. It was it's a lot of stuff about like just beating your own scores, and it's like a giant time trial more or less. And Journey of Dreams introduced a lot of cool stuff, but at the end of the day I beat the game, and I've never gone back to it, not once. And it's just because it's not as good as the original, and the original hasn't aged extraordinarily well. It just This game has such a good idea. Knights itself is a great character design, and the idea of just a free-flying game that's actually on a 2D plane, it plays to a lot of the same sensibilities of another game you and I love, Product Number 9, where it's just this relatively simple concept, but modernized, you know, in a relatively modern type of game, and it's just about doing it and having fun doing that one thing over and over again. And Journey of Dreams introduced some cool concepts, like some behind the character stages where you're moving in a little bit more of a 360 movement. You can transform into different vehicles and a dolphin when you go to these underwater segments. Like, it's got a lot of really cool stuff in it, but it just missed the mark, and it shouldn't have. This game should have been absolutely huge. And when they announced a return of Knights, I was over the moon, and then the game just wound up being relatively subpar, and it still makes me sad to this day. Curse you, Sonic Team.
That is very sad, because you're right. It is a really cool, interesting idea. You know, like, Knights is very simplistic, but it's really fun to play the original one.
It is.
There's a certain zen that kind of takes over as you're playing through that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to fuck that up, but...
Well, I mean, this was during a time when Sonic Team was not cranking out good product at this point. They were not. They were not. I don't know any of these people personally. They may be talented in some way, shape, or form. I don't know what went wrong with almost every one of their projects, but Sonic Team was not cranking out good stuff. And that was kind of my worry when they announced a sequel to Knights. It's like, well, I'm super stoked, but... It's also Sonic Team. They haven't done anything good in a long time.
I'm super stoked, but you guys are terrible.
Yeah. So that was December 2007. Yay.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's travel back 20 years, December 1997. And hoo boy, we got some winners here. Mortal Kombat. I couldn't even say it without laughing. Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero. We talked about this before, I think, when it came out on PlayStation. And how do you make that worse is you put it on N64.
Yeah, you really
so
do.
Now you have muddy textures. You have an insane controller and the same exact crappy game. Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero is a pile of turds.
It's just the worst.
It is swill. It is irredeemable. It is awful. Putrid, even. I'm going with putrid. I like that word.
Putrescence.
Yeah.
Is palpable. It's, God, it's, it still makes me fucking angry every time we talk about it, because it, Sub-Zero is cool.
And seriously, make it, can you imagine, like, playing through God of War as Sub-Zero?
That's awesome.
Like, just running around freezing idea. People with ice maces and ice axes and just shooting ice and breaking. Just, there's such an awesome concept there of being a dude that shoots ice just killing folk. And
it, just killing folk. Just, I mean, like, man, just how did you guys fuck this up so bad? So bad. It's incredibly.
Mortal Kombat, and like, why does this keep happening to fighting games? Like, I think we talked about it last week when we talked about that Soul Calibur Wii game, the and the Soul Calibur Legends. Like, how do you screw that up? Like, how do people keep taking fighting games and then try to put them in different genres and screw them up?
Like the saddest thing is that the best fighting game that has been made into like an action type thing is the stupid beat 'em up that's included in like Tekken 3 for the PlayStation.
I think you're right. I can't think of any other fighting game that's really branched off in that direction and been good.
It just hasn't. It doesn't exist.
I mean, if you want to get technical, the first Ninja Gaiden for Xbox has more in common with the Dead or Alive Ryu Hayabusa than the original NES ones. So I guess you could technically say that, but even that, no. That's a stretch.
No.
Anyway, Quake 2 came out on PC. I've never played it, but a lot of people did. People love Quake. Did you like Quake?
It was fun. I played it. I didn't get huge into Quake. Mostly because it was one of those things where, like, I heard about it late, and then by the time I tried playing it, it was like, oh wow, like everybody's way better. I'm just not gonna do this. I'm just gonna get my ass kicked over and over and over again.
Yeah, I remember because I loved, you know, like I said, I loved Doom and I liked Wolfenstein, and I can remember seeing Quake and I don't know, Quake 2 in particular. I remember seeing that one. First screenshots of that one and being like, well, this is blocky and hideous. I'm sure it's cool, but I'm out. I'm done with you. So I didn't really mess with it.
I don't know. I feel similarly to Quake, to how I feel with, like Overwatch.
Yeah. Right and now. Like Team Fortress.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
sure
I feel
they're
like
great.
I should probably be into that.
But I'm not. Yeah, I'm with you. And bless them. I'm glad they're out there. I don't want to equate Quake 2 with Mortal Kombat Mythologies. I'm sure Quake 2 is great. It just didn't speak to me.
I'm not. I'm gonna say that they're virtually the same. Oh, God. They're basically the same.
And well, finally, to move on to our last game of December of 97, this one's even kind of a cheat because it was released in Japan, and I'm trying to talk about the American releases, but just because there's so few games to talk about this week.
We needed content.
Yeah, the original Mega Man Legends came out on Japan and on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like this game very much.
I'm not a huge fan of the Legends. The Legends.
The game. Legends.
Yeah, don't love them.
Yeah, me
it's
neither.
No Misadventures of Tron Bond.
You know what? I haven't even played that one.
Oh, really?
And it's because I was going to go weird. Through them more or less in order. And I really, really tried with Mega Man Legends.
Maybe just, we'll do it for the 40th anniversary of it.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Maybe they'll put them all in a collection or something. Capcom did say, like, on some interview, they are aware that there is interest in the Mega Man Legends series. I'm like, wow, thank you. Thank you for announcing that water is wet, guys. You want to call Nintendo on the phone and say that people want them to localize Mother 3? Go ahead.
Yeah. Wait, people want Nintendo to do that?
I know. It's a real shock. It's a real
say
shock.
Say it ain't so.
So, yeah, Mega Man Legends. That's
It's so ugly.
It is. I do not care for the art direction of this game, especially the in-game super polygonal art direction. But more than anything, it was, all right, Mega Man's going 3D, and this was the time when all franchises were going 3D, and then I looked at this and said, well, that's not Mega Man. That's not Mega Man at all.
No.
And it may as well not be a Mega Man game. Like, this could have just been an entirely different franchise, and nobody would have been the wiser, because to my eyes, there doesn't seem to be much of a connection to Mega Man in this game. So,
no, he's blue.
Yeah, he looks more or less like Mega Man without his helmet on.
This very well could have been Blasto 2.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't have known any different. Hmm. It just doesn't, like, the idea of Mega Man in 3D is a cool idea, but it needs to play like Piano 3.
Yeah, it really does. And even then, a Piano 3, you couldn't move while you were shooting. And that's
right,
kind of a big part of Mega
Man. Something similar to that, like that sort of fluidity of movement.
There's got to be real fluidity of movement. It's got to play kind of like, Jesus, I don't even know. Bayonetta. I don't even know. Like, honestly, like gameplay wise, minus the close counters interactions, gameplay wise, the closest thing I could think of to what Mega Man should feel like in 3D is Metroid Other M.
See, I was going to say Devil May Cry without the swords.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. See, I don't think of that because if like Devil May Cry is very like shooting bullets kind of a thing, whereas Metroid is shooting like little yellow blasts that you can see move. So, but they're pretty similar. Like it's gotta be some sort of 3D action thing like that. But I don't know.
I feel like there's a really cool game in there. Like having a Mega Man in 3D that would have a slide and a roll kind of thing, mm-hmm. kind of the way God of War controlled.
Yeah.
The original God of War series where, you know, the right analog stick would have you like ducking and diving and rolling out of the way of things. I think doing that with Mega Man sounds really cool.
It is an interesting concept. I would love to see somebody make a real serious stab at 3D Mega Man that's not the like Mega Man X7 and X8, because that didn't work.
I don't know. Throw Retro Studios on it and have them make a 3D Metroid and just
that,
make
that
a
would
Mega
be
Man
sweet.
Instead. Something like that. You know, that's kind of what I was hoping for, mm-hmm. or what I would be hoping for, you know, like Mega Man Legends, just it's clunky and it's awkward. The writing isn't great. The story is just kind of weird.
Agreed.
I mean, it makes less sense than a typical Mega Man story.
Which really, there doesn't need to be much there. It's Mega
there
Man.
Really doesn't. I mean, I don't know. Again, it's no Misadventures of Tron Bonne, for damn sure.
Well, what is? Anyway, all right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about games released in 1987 in December. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. Okay. So we don't have our regular slate of commercials, but Dan is going to talk up his segment, Why I Love Wrestling, in a segment I like to call, Why I Love Dan Loving Wrestling. Go.
Go. No pressure. So, Okada and Omega have had 3 matches this year in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
And what's pretty incredible about this is that in the history of wrestling, most of the best matches are between guys that have worked each other quite a bit. right? So they have a history. They know how each other performs in the ring, spots they like to do, what they're comfortable with, all that. The best match that I had ever seen was the very first Okada Omega match at Wrestle Kingdom 11 earlier this year in January. Those two had never wrestled before. It was the first time they had ever been in the ring together, and they put on the best match that I have seen in my entire life of watching wrestling. And that's not, like, hyperbole. It's an opinion that is shared by most people who have seen that match. And then they had another match. It was somehow better than that first one. And then they had a third match that was just as good. And all three of them told a different story. And what's incredible about it is that even if you don't like wrestling, the story that these two guys tell in the ring is amazing. The athleticism that is on display is also incredible, and the stuff is cool, and it looks cool, and, like, part of Kenny Omega's whole shtick right now is he has, like, this Terminator moment where, like, the Young Bucks are usually out there for his matches, and there's a big spot where he does, like, a dive over the ropes and whatever, and they do the do-do-do-do-do-do, like, they bang on the fucking ring. It's fucking awesome and stupid. But, like, the whole crowd is, like, chanting and clapping along. It's really cool. And, like, there's just all these really cool moments in all of these matches. And they had three of the best matches you would ever see, telling incredible stories that people who don't like wrestling could even watch this and go, all right, I get it. Like, I get why this is objectively a fine example of this particular thing. So this week, I'm going to talk about all three of those matches because it's unfair to try and pick between the three for matches. So this week we'll talk about it, and we will also end up the year with a multi-beer and game post because I missed a couple because Squarespace can go suck egg. Are we allowed to say that now?
I mean, I guess. I don't think they're listening.
I just did. They might be.
Who knows?
I don't know. It was just trying to write on that website just got so frustrating, and we're gonna spotlight a bunch of Jersey breweries here at the end of the year and pair them up with some classic game.
Awesome.
So, be a good time. There will at least be stuff this weekend, Chris.
Well, hooray! My contribution to this break segment where we usually read commercials is I saw Star Wars The Last Jedi and I thought it was great.
I can't wait to see it because everybody else said it was the worst movie ever made, and I want to know why they felt that way and why they are wrong.
It was weird. I felt weird when I got out of the movie. Like, I don't want to get too deep into this, but, like, I felt weird when I got out. I knew that I liked what I saw, but it is so different feeling from any other Star Wars movie I've seen. From any other Star Wars movie, not even I've seen this at all. It is a strange movie, and it definitely has some faults, but I left really, really wanting to go back and see it again, and I still feel that way. I need to go back and see this movie again. And I will say this, that for a lot of the people that are complaining about, like, what they did, like the character assassination or whatever that they did, I don't think that's really true, especially if you go back and rewatch Force Awakens, which I just did the other day. I just looked at that movie and it's totally different direction. Like, I'm looking at these characters and the way that they seem to be being built up, and I'm like, you know what, I did that. This movie didn't build up these characters. I built up those characters because of the way the similar characters were built up in the original trilogy. And I applaud how bold this thing went. And here's something I will say, that at the beginning of the movie, you know, in the end of Force Awakens, when Rey hands Luke the lightsaber, she's holding that to him. What Luke does with the lightsaber is the last thing I expected him to do with that lightsaber.
Puts it right in his head.
See that? That was the first thought that you came up with. It's not that. It's it. To my mind, it is even less expected than that. Just did not see that coming. There was a lot of stuff I didn't see coming. I thought the humor was great, and I think everyone who says that they did Luke a disservice was not watching the same movie I saw.
I don't know. Luke said that, so...
Yeah, but eventually he came around to it. He said that in the first place, and then he walked back on that. And he said, you know what? This is great. I don't know what the exact quote is, but look it up. Look what Mark Hamill said about it. At first, he said he fundamentally disagreed with all that stuff. But afterwards, after doing the movie and after being involved in it, he understood it. And I do too.
See, this is why I got to stop reading shit on the internet. Because the only thing that I've seen so far, because not having seen the movie yet, I am purposefully trying to stay away from anything that has star and or wars in the title. Like, we could be at war right now, Chris. I wouldn't know because it's too close to Star Wars. The only thing I saw was the hot take clickbait, you know, article title of, you know, Mark Hamill thinks Star Wars is fucking shit to bed, and all of you are idiots for loving this franchise, and he also hates puppies. And he's like, what the fuck? Jesus, that's a bold headline that I'm not going to click on.
Yeah, and like he did say that, and I could get that, and I'm
he said
really
all
curious.
Of that is a direct quote from the Stone Age gamer, Chris Randazzo. Mark Hamill said all that stuff that I just said.
I'm curious at what point that changed, because there is a bit when they really they do explain why he is where he is and the way that he is, and it made sense to me, like, that this is where he would be when they made that. When they had that explanation, and I don't understand how people can see that and not understand it and think that that's really cool, interesting storytelling. Like, just was. But anyway, this is not a Star Wars podcast. Let's get back to Stone Age Gamer.
You can catch all of this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekaid.com. It's just the way you sound.
Flawless.
I did such a staggering Chris Randazzo impersonation right there. Right now, geekaid.com. That's exactly how you say it.
It's me. And we are back. All right, let's roll through 1987. 30 years ago, in December of 1987, we got Fantasy Zone 2 on the Sega Master System. Fantasy Zone 2, The Tears of Opa Opa.
The Tears of Opa Opa.
What a strange subtitle.
Like,
to a magnificent freaking game.
Fantasy Zone is awesome and needs to come back.
Fantasy Zone 2 is super awesome. I all right, so Fantasy Zone 2, Dean just messaged me. I know you're in the middle of an episode, but game of the year is next week, right? Evan sent me a private message to join. Thanks, Dean. I am in the middle of an episode right now. Smack dab in the middle. We just came back from break. Anyway, what the hell was I saying? Fantasy Zone 2. All right, so
Fantasy Zone 2, The Tears of Opa Opa.
This might have been the first Master System game I ever played.
Really?
I know this is the one that left the biggest impression on me. It was at my Uncle Ed's house, and my Uncle Ed is a piece of shit. He's a kid toucher, and I hope he rots in hell.
Jesus.
And I never liked
personal.
It. He was the kind of uncle that, like, made me play 52 pickup. And I was like, this shit ain't funny. And then he laid there on the couch while I picked up all 52 of the cards he threw around on the floor.
Like, or would do, like, Smoke and Fire. You ever play that?
No, I don't know that one.
That was when you put a bunch of black-based cards, or black-suited cards. Black. you know what I mean, though. And then the red-faced or red-suited cards behind it. And, like, when you had a black card, you would say smoke, 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 and then when the person said fire, you would flick all the cards at their face.
I'm surprised he didn't play
move.
That one. Yeah, so he was a dick, but he had a Sega Master System, and one of the games they had was Fantasy Zone 2. And since I was always pretty bored when I went over to their giant creepy house, I loved busting out the Sega Master System and playing Fantasy Zone 2. And I adore that game. It's so bright and colorful. It's so super fun. It's got great music, just like the original Fantasy Zone.
It's
Fantasy
so
Zone
fucking
2 is
weird.
Great.
It's just weird.
It is.
Fantasy Zone as a whole is a very strange series.
As like, it should be. You know, you're in Fantasy Zone.
Well, that's
let's
true.
Make it they banana balls not, crazy.
They didn't bury the lead.
No,
but,
they didn't.
It's really cool. And the cover art for the Master System 1 is so good.
Yeah, very so detailed. Gorgeous,
dude,
gorgeous artwork.
I love the Master System. It is a criminally underrated system.
At least here in America.
It really is, though. There's such great stuff about
it. There is. If you put it next to the NES, at least here in America, and it's almost no contest. There's just so much good stuff on the NES. But
I thought you were going to say the Master System was better.
No way. And the next game is proof, because Mega Man came out for NES in December of 1987, according to my records, which could be wrong, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
Whatever.
The original Mega Man. Freaking fantastic game.
Point system.
Very yeah, it had odd. Points. Don't know why. They're pointless.
Well, because everything back then was an arcade game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everything had points, you know?
You get the high score in Mega Man.
Right. I mean...
Mega Man's so great. I love Mega Man 1.
It's so good. It's so hard.
It is. It is tough. It's got that, you know, the controls weren't, you know, they didn't really sharpen the controls till 3. But, you know, the Robot Master designs, the music is so unique in this one. It gets great music, but it doesn't feel like Mega Man music, you know, that the stuff that was really pioneered in 2 and onward.
Right.
But it's still great, great stuff. Only 6 Robot Masters.
But some of my very favorites.
I love Cutman.
Cutman. Love fucking Lekman.
I've always loved Iceman. I just love
Iceman. Is cool.
He's so cool.
Bombman is cool. Like, all the stages are really cool in this one. It was a really bold kind of design choice back then.
Yeah, it was your own adventure, you know?
Yeah.
There's 6 stages. Just play them whatever order you want.
Play them in whatever order you want. But, like, once you started... Because, like, it's just kind of a shame now. Because, you know... Back then, when we were kids and we played this, and somebody told you, like, oh, if you get this, it works against this guy. Oh, shit. I didn't even consider that. I didn't even consider that there would be a good way to go through this game. Like, oh, this
yeah,
is deeper I'll than
I
I'll
never forget the first time that I picked, because I played, not obviously, but I've said before, I played this game after I played 2.
Right.
And, man, going into... Cutman's room and picking up one of those things with Gutsman's weapons, and it like takes half his health. It's like, oh damn. Okay.
This is awesome. And it had that weird platform beam.
Oh yeah, the magnet beam. That gun's awesome. I'm so sad that never came back.
No, it never came back, but like it was cool, you know, because I think Elecman's in the top left. Right? So he is top left, right? Or is that Cutman?
I feel like it's Wow, crap. I don't remember. No, Elecman's, he's one of the left or right ones. Let me take a look.
Yeah. I don't know. I always went to that stage first.
Because they were, now top left must have been Gutsman. Images, come on. Am I right? It was Cutman. Elecman is to the left.
Right.
It was, you know, the top
Where
two were Cutman
get...
and Gutsman. The middle row was Elecman, Iceman. Bottom row was Fireman, Bombman.
Where do you get the magnet beam? Am I just remembering
Gutsman
this
stage.
Wrong?
No, was it Gutsman stage? No, it was Elecman stage.
It's Elecman stage.
Yeah,
so,
Elecman stage. You need to use Gutsman's weapon to get it.
Right. So if you didn't do Gutsman yet, you're going through the stage and there was a thing that you couldn't get. You know, unless you had it. So, fuck, how do I get that? So then you figure out, like, okay, I get this guy, and then I can go back into this stage, and then I can get this thing, and then, oh, that made Iceman a lot easier, or making it made getting through those stupid blocks easier. You know, but at that point, we all had the pattern memorized anyway. But God, it was so cool, and it was so innovative and so different. I was just, God, I love Mega Man.
Me too.
I adore that franchise. And I'm really, really hopeful that 11 is a return to form, as it were. Because 9 and 10 are cool, but they're not great, in my opinion.
I think 9 is great. I think 10 is cool. But
I don't know. I don't even think 9 is great.
You know, I genuinely loved 9. There are things about 9 that bug me, particularly the fact that they took away the slide and the charge shot.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I still really like those games a lot.
I mean, I do like them, but I think my anticipation and my hype level was just so off the charts when I, you know, this is coming out. Oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And then like, good.
Well, that was the thing. It didn't evolve anything. And
right.
That was really
just
my,
more of the same.
My only disappointment of it was like, well, they went after Mega Man 2 and they did a really great job of that, but they didn't really evolve. Like Mega Man 8, for all of its flaws, evolved the series. It was
right.
a next step, and you can't really say that about 9 or 10. Well, you can kind of for 10, because 10 made base and Proto Man playable characters. It included
right.
things like the shop and whatnot. It was a little bit more modern, but it wasn't quite. It wasn't like 8, where 8 was like you got swimming in it, and you got those rush jet levels that are, you know, basically turn into 2D scrolling shooters. You've got
right.
the slide the crazy ice level things and anime cutscenes, which looked awesome but sounded terrible, and the ability to shoot your regular Mega Buster while having a special weapon equipped. That was mm-hmm. awesome, because they're taking advantage of the number of face buttons you have. Like, all right, we
right.
got all these buttons. Let's freaking use them for a change. And there was really cool stuff to Mega Man 8. Overall, the feeling didn't really catch me, particularly Mega Man swimming. But regardless, they tried something different, and I don't feel like they really did that much in 9 and 10, because they were playing off nostalgia. And it's hard to really fault them for that too much, but
it
I fault them a little for
so
it.
So safe.
Yeah, especially 10. They did that trick once with 9, and that was cool. But when they did it a second time with 10, it didn't have the same luster. It wasn't as cool the second time. That was a trick you could use once, and they used it once, and then they went back, and it just wasn't as cool as it should have been.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that being said, I am very hopeful for 11.
Yeah, conceptually speaking, everything I've seen of Mega Man 11 makes me happy. I just want them to fuss with the art and make it look prettier.
And like, I was going to suggest that we do a Mega Man retrospective and do all the Mega Man games, but then we would have to play through like the battle shit. I don't.
Nah, we could do a mainline Mega Man retrospective.
Okay.
We could narrow it down. We're in charge of our own destinies.
We are, but we're not, though. I mean, maybe we'll do that for when 11 comes out.
Yeah, we'll do a Mega Man retrospective. As in just the Mega Man games. Not Mega Man X, not Mega Man Star Force, not Battle Network, not Legends, not anything. Just Mega Man.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Cool.
There. Show planning. Hooray. Next up, we had Pac-Mania. Came out in arcades. The first time I saw Pac-Mania in arcades, like I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. I was so blown away by Pac-Man can jump? What?
Hey, he's got legs?
He didn't have legs. He was just it was a sphere instead of a circle. And it was like that weird isometric thing. And I remember looking at this thing there, I was like, what? This is so cool. I gotta play it. And I think it was at a Pizza Hut, and I grabbed my mom and was like, Mom, look at this. It's like crazy new Pac-Man, look at this thing. And I freaked out. I put my quarters in, and I had a blast playing that game. Pac-Mania does not get the credit it deserves. It's weird. You can jump over the ghosts and stuff, but it's just a neat take on Pac-Man. I think it's really fun.
I always liked Pac-Mania.
Yeah.
Well, that was cool.
I didn't really get the mania, you know, like I was manic, but that's just because I'm crazy. Like the game itself is a little slower than the original Pac-Man. So I don't know if calling
it
Pac-Mania.
Well, it kind of has to be the view is a little bit more limited. Like, you can't see the whole play field.
Yeah, true. There was a lot of
scrolling. You know what I mean? So if you're zipping through there, like, especially at Miss Pac-Man speed.
Oh, God,
you know,
yeah, that would be
just impossible.
Crazy.
But it is, it's a cool game, and it was ported to a bunch of systems and whatnot, and did not, you know, didn't do terribly.
Yeah, no, it's a cool game. Just it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't get talked about. It doesn't get looked back on as fondly, and that makes me sad, because Pac-Mania is great.
Because it's not Ms. Pac-Man.
It's true, it's not Ms. Pac-Man.
Which is by far the best of the Pac-Man game.
I would agree, yeah. Not just, I mean, you know what, it, yeah, I think it is objectively the best, although I think my favorite of the Pac-Man games is Junior Pac-Man for Atari 2600.
Really? Not Pac-Man Versus?
Pac-Man Versus is super cool, but Junior Pac-Man for 2600 is really great. Like, really great.
I don't know that I've ever even played.
It scrolls vertically. Like, I like it better than the arcade one. The arcade one scrolled a little bit left and right, but it was very slow. The 2600 one has these vertical stages, so it just scrolls up and down. It looks great. It sounds really cool. It's really, really an impressive 2600 game. And it's really fun to play. It's got great speed. It's got great challenge. It is an excellent, excellent port of Junior Pac-Man. And I think it's my most fun to play Pac-Man game.
All right. Great stuff. Check it out. Like, right, I usually just gravitate towards Ms. Pac-Man out of familiarity and laziness.
Well, I mean, it's like, just...
I know this is great, so I'm just going to play this.
It's simple, effective. It's probably distilled the best of the Pac-Man, just the general idea of Pac-Man. That's it right there. It doesn't get much better than that. But I just got to say, for my money, I mean, Pac-Man Champion Edition is also really, really, really good. I don't want to take away from that, but I gotta go with the 2600 Junior Pac-Man. It's just freaking great.
All right.
It also introduced, that's another thing that Junior Pac-Man does. It introduces like the items that bounce around on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go past dots, they turn them into big dots, and those big dots are worth more points, but they slow you down when you eat them.
Mm.
So like, it's this constant risk reward thing. When one of those items shows up bouncing around, like, if you let it bounce around on the stage for a long time, it'll give you the opportunity to get a lot more points. But the longer it's out there, the bigger the dots, the more big dots that are out there, and the slower you're going to get, which increases your chances of getting hit by the ghosts. Plus, if one of those things runs into a power pellet, it blows it up.
What?
Yeah. So it was a very smart wrinkle to the Pac-Man formula. It just added that one little extra layer of strategy to it without intrinsically changing what Pac-Man is. Darn good game. Anywho, we got the Sega Master System port of Afterburner, which is was serviceable at the time.
Yeah, I remember loving that port. Loved Afterburner.
Going back at it now,
such a cool game.
Yeah, Afterburner is great, but man, going back to the Master System one now is kind of tough. Yeah. But you got to understand, like, way back in the day when this was happening, getting arcade ports on home consoles, like, you would never get the exact arcade experience at home, especially not in 1987. But like, when they were doing shit like the Turtles arcade game on NES, I remember looking at the screenshots side by side and being like, "Wow, that's actually kind of close."
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's really not, but when you're
like
looking at stuff...
Like, trying to talk yourself into it, like, no, that's just as good.
But, and, like, that's the thing. At the time, it really felt that way, because, like, oh, wow, they got that close on a home console? That's so cool.
It's
and the
cool.
fact that
it's
they
like
were...
the GoBots are almost as cool as the Transformers. Like, it's so close.
But, like, man, if you put the arcade version of Afterburner or any of these Sega arcade games, like the Afterburner or Space Harrier next to each other, like, Space Harrier on Master System is super cool at the time. But, man, you play it now, it's like, well, there's no reason I shouldn't just be playing the arcade version on my TV, because it's vastly superior. But
because I have a computer and MAME, so I'll just do
that. Exactly. But it was a big deal at the time. Afterburner is an awesome game.
It really is.
Also on the Master System. No, go ahead.
Fueled my love of Ace Combat.
Hmm.
You know, like, I know they're vastly different games, but it was like, this is kind of like what Afterburner would have gotten to. And then like Crimson Skies. He was so good.
I really liked those. Nobody did explosions quite like Sega arcade games back then.
No, they really didn't.
There's something about when you died in Afterburner, it was such a production. It'd be like that crazy line of awesome explosions, and then like you just big one at the end. And similar in Hang On, the arcade version of Hang On, when you'd hit a sign, your like bike would blow up when you like landed on the road. Man, that was so cool. And your character, the driver would just like fall to his knees and be like, "No, this is so awesome."
It was such a good arcade cabinet too.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a cool fucking cabinet. Anyway,
Sega really knew how to do arcade games back then.
Really did.
All right, so also for the Sega Master System, we got Zillion.
I don't know what this is.
I don't really.
But you own
off the top of my head. I know I own it. I want to make sure that I am not full of garbage because we did a top 10 Master System games, and if Zillion was on my list, I'm going to feel like a real asshole. Not that I don't already, but...
Yeah, well...
Yeah, no, it wasn't on my list. That wasn't on my list. Yeah, Zillion's one of those games that I know of, and I just can't say... See, I was thinking it was Quartet. No, Quartet's genuinely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's one of those games that people talk about when they talk about Master System games, and I couldn't tell you more about it past that.
I don't... Well, I'm going to look it up. Because I know it wasn't on my list.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't on either of our lists.
Because I don't bullshit these things, Chris.
I know. I don't either. About. I was just afraid that I did, or like afraid that I got confused or something.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. It looks cool.
That's gonna drive me nuts.
Certainly inspired by some sort of anime. It looks. Anyway, I don't know. I have no idea what this game is.
Well, it's for Master System.
That's fun.
Enjoy.
Sure.
And finally, guess I skipped over this one because I wanted to end on something awesome. And we also, in December of 1987, according to my records, we got Wizards and Warriors for NES.
So good.
So good. I love Wizards and Warriors. I loved all four of those games, and I really wish they'd make a comeback. I wish I knew who owned them.
But it's so weird. Like, if you go back and look at it now, like, character looks fucking stupid.
Yeah, I know, but the game had a sense of humor about it. Like, when you died, he'd just, like, fall over and spaz the hell out, and then his leg would dangle. So I always thought it was one of the things I liked about it, was that it seemed like the game just didn't take itself very seriously.
I mean, you wouldn't know that by the cover art.
No, the cover art is like dead serious. And Iron Sword's got Fabio, and you know, third one's Kuros Visions of Power, and then there was the Warriors X Fortress of Fear. But they all have they all have incredible David Wise soundtracks. They are relatively different in the way that they work. Like the Game Boy one was the Warriors X is more of a very side scrolly. Whereas the NES ones are mostly about jumping more than anything else. You're a knight, but there's very little combat involved. They're just true platformers, and they're really fun to play. Even the third one being as kind of broken and relatively unfinished as it feels, it's still got a lot of great concepts in it. But the first Wizards and Warriors is just it's got infinite continue, so it's not hard to beat, but it is kind of hard to actually get through the process. Like, you know, you can keep continuing, but it is kind of difficult to, every time you start a level over, you're just like, damn, I got to do this over again. It's kind of tough.
Do this whole fucking thing over again.
But you get some really great powers, like the levitation spell and the boots that let you walk on the lava and kick open treasure chests.
The map. I don't know why. The map just always spoke to me.
The map was really cool. The map was cooler in Iron Sword, but the map was still pretty cool in the first one. I loved the dagger that you got.
Mm-hmm.
That little like boomerang dagger. It makes no sense that it's a freaking dagger that spins around and comes back to you like a boomerang, but it doesn't matter. It's freaking cool. Oh, it was the worst.
This was a really dope series. And I mean, this was Rare, right?
Well, it was developed by Rare, but the games were all published by Acclaim. So when this game was, none of these games were included in the Rare replay. Right. It really kind of made me scratch my head. It's like, maybe Rare doesn't own this. Maybe that's why we haven't seen it. Maybe this isn't a claim property that's just been sitting in limbo.
But what the hell is Claim even doing right now?
I don't think they're even a company anymore, are they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they folded and sold off all their assets.
Well, that's probably true.
Claim Entertainment. Let's see. Went defunct in August of 2004.
Really? That long?
Yeah. It's been a while since there's been any Acclaim.
I wonder, nobody bought the assets or anything? Like, that's not in the article that you're...
No, I'm looking at their a Wikipedia article, and no, it doesn't look like anyone's bought their assets, but Wizards and Warriors is not listed as one of their games. I wonder why. Because this is all alphabetical, and...
I mean, we're just never going to get another Turok.
Oh, no.
Which, I mean, that...
Not for nothing, I did like the first one. I'd like the first Turok Dinosaur Hunter. I didn't mess with any of the sequels, though.
Hold on. It's right here up at the fucking top, Chris. Acclaim Entertainment's 2004 demise. The Acclaim brand and logotype were purchased by the unrelated company Acclaim Games, which went defunct in 2010. Then Canadian video game publisher Throwback Entertainment acquired more than 150 titles from Acclaim's video game library.
Well, see, now I'm looking at their games published section down here. I just did a search for the word wizard, and it's not on this page anywhere. So what the... And Warriors. What the bloody hell is the secret behind Wizards and Warriors? Oh, because it was published in Japan by Jalico, for Christ's sake.
Really?
It was definitely developed by Rare, and I don't get it.
All right.
I don't understand what happened to Wizards and Warriors. Somebody make a new Wizards and Warriors game, darn it.
Get Banjo Guy Ollie involved.
Yeah, get Ollie on it. Ollie, make a new Wizards and Warriors game. I know you can do it.
You know people.
Yeah, you know people who know people. You are people who know people.
Multi-talented people.
Seriously.
People who love people. The fucking Spamalot reference for the Broadway geeks in the audience.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Yeah, J-Pain will get it, maybe. She's seen Spamalot.
Or if she listens to this show.
She does.
Well, anyway, that's it.
Anyway, so, yeah, Wizards and Warriors is great. It is really, really great. It's one of those games where you look at the cover art and you look at the box art and, like, they don't match. Well, okay. It's not really exactly what I thought I was going to be getting when I flipped this box over, but it's still a dope-ass game.
It is, with dope-ass music. I can't say dope like you. You can pull it off. I can't do it.
Well, that's as we've discussed before, Chris.
I am not cool.
No.
I can't even speak like cool people. I'm not allowed. Can't. It just doesn't work.
It's not an affectation that that really suits you.
Yeah, like, you know how some people can say baby? I'm not one of those people.
Like, hey, baby.
Something like that. Well, clearly you're not one of those people either. I feel like there are people that can do that, and I'm not one of them.
What's up, baby? No, I can't do that, because every time I say it, it comes off like the Dave Chappelle stand-up, where he's talking about the baby selling weed on the street corner. Really funny. Hey, baby, what are you doing out on the street corner? Can't do it. Anyway.
Well, that's our show.
Yeah.
Not going to get better than that. That's it for the 10-20-30 for this year. Thank you for listening.
It's an interesting idea. It'll pick back up in January, where we will be jumping back to 2008, 1998, and 1988.
That's right. I just started putting together the year's worth of notes on that earlier this afternoon.
Which is what's pretty cool about it is that we're going to start getting into some like late in the system life releases where things are like starting to get really good. You know,
yeah. You know what's freaking weird? Like, what's freaking me out is like this is at the point in the NES library where Japan was so far ahead of us.
Oh God,
like,
yeah.
By years, I'm like, oh, December of 1988, that was Zelda 2. Super Mario Brothers 2 came out here in America in October of 88, I think it was October.
Yeah.
And Super Mario 3 was out in Japan. How did I miss that?
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. Like, I didn't know about that game until the freaking Wizard, and it was already out in Japan. Like, what a different time. Anyway.
It really was.
That's our show. That was the 10-20-30 for December 2017. Join us next week for the 4th annual SAG JGLD Awards, featuring not just Dan and myself, but special guests Dean and Glenn from the Vest and Friends podcast and Jordan from the Nonstop Comic Shop podcast. Who the fuck is Glenn? Anyway, we'll all be giving our picks for Game of the Year, among other things. With that many participants, it's bound to be a complete shit show. But we're going to do it anyway, because it'll be fun. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can find us individually on Twitter. I'm Geekade Chris, that's Geekade K-R-I-S, and Dan, where are you?
At Geekade Dan.
That's a great place for you. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. We'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we'll have a link to in the show notes. I'll go ahead and plug the Stone Age Gamer blog, because why the heck not? I write a blog, and it is at Stone Age Gamer's website. You can just click on top. It says blog. It's called the Gratuitous Rainbow Spectrum, and I still don't know why, because I haven't asked Ryan. But I like the name. And all of our other wonderful stuff over at geekade.com, which we are working very hard on bringing a nice, easier-to-use site to you. Again, always remember to keep your eyes right there on geekade.com for more fresh original content. And that is it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.